which every kid does. Where do kids learn to do that? Some kid playbook that they've all...
I think they're wired that way.
They just come out of the chute knowing how to do that. If I hear one more peep, I'm going to turn this car around. And then they wait, though. You wait, and then you do it in a real low voice that your dad doesn't know, but you or your brother, you're just going to beep. Hello. It's 34 seconds after the hour of 11, and then some of the January in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio. We appreciate your radio presence and your patronage and your hey-hey and your whatnot and your wah-wah-wah-wah. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's program. 503-spinning all over the microphone. 503-733-2970. I mean, we had a meeting thing, like a department head.
I saw a lot of laughing people in that room. What was being spoken to?
Just a lot of white people sitting in a circle laughing at each other's jokes. That's... And then talking about, I don't really care for this new brand of coffee filter we've got in the kitchen. And then trying not to be distracted by the numerous conversations about golfing that are going on all around you. There's a lot of like, what is your handicap? Anyway, so I was there this morning, but somebody did bring up that study. They said that the radio station... Because Jeff McGinley in engineering asked me about this. About radio stations being the third most germ-laden work environment in America, right behind Alaskan fishing boats and police stations. As Sarah's coughing. That's fantastic. You couldn't have timed that any better. It's okay. It is your DNA, Sarah. But right behind fishing boats and police stations, radio stations are the third most disgusting and germ-filled environments on Earth. So,
look at some of the people in them.
Who are you thinking of in particular, Jim?
Well, these people don't work in radio anymore because their jobs have been eliminated. So I guess probably I'm wrong, but way back when, say 3 or 4 years ago, back when we were...
Oh, yeah. Some of the late night board ops?
Even early morning and afternoon board ops.
Just board ops in general is what you're saying.
So it's good that those positions were eliminated.
By nice, clean, sterile machines.
By 286 computers, which they could have been all along, I
suppose. I'd like you to meet your new replacement. His first name is Vic. His last name is 20. There you go. A little 1980s humor there for you. Bam. Next, I'll reference Enter Magazine. And then everybody will say, hey, it's like he's in my head thinking all my private thoughts. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, perhaps, perchance. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. And I'm not going to bother to... I'm just going to play this here in a minute. We have this fantastic James Brown thing. James Brown. I never did get that. Scott, do you have James Brown is Dead by L.A. Style? You know what I'm talking about? You don't, but you know the song, right? Everybody knows James Brown is Dead. Sorry. Okay, well, no, he doesn't. Well, apparently, maybe it's just me. Tim, you know that.
I know James Brown is Dead.
James Dead, the song?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, James Brown is dead. All right. And that's the thing is, I've said this several times. That's my big lament. We were not
well,
around.
Well, he's still not buried. You can still play it.
James Brown is rotting. That'll be a corpse watch later. That's fantastic. That's not
it's
even.
It's been like 16 days. That is so wrong.
Now, see, do you know the obvious joke?
The one that you just made?
No, well.
That was funny.
No, that is obvious. In a way, I'm kind of glad that we weren't on the air when James Brown died because it sort of was like, it's what Tony Robbins would call external leverage. By not being here, it stopped me from making the really obvious James Brown is dead joke, which I certainly would. I'm making it now. And he died weeks ago, and I'm still making that stupid joke.
So what's the obvious observation?
Not funny then, not funny now. Scotty's typing his guesses as to what the joke is. No, there is an obvious joke for the fact that James Brown, we're not making this up, by the way, dead 16 days, still not buried. Just can't seem to get him in the ground. Please now to be calling if you know the joke. It's 503-733-2970. We will test your morning show acumen. That ought to be a recurring bit that we do here. I mean, not inadvertently through our lack of actual comedic ability, but I mean, like an actual structured bit. Where we test the can you be a morning show DJ, and then we, boy, can I just tell you, and I'm not going to name names, can I just tell you that I almost don't even want to say it for fear that people will perversely go listen to it, but boy, there's just It's just some of the worst radio programming on earth in this city. I mean, and I say that with love. I love Portland. You know I do. I love Portland. I love radio. I love Portland radio.
That's because all the real people are here at this company.
It's true.
They've all been hired by CBS.
They've all been...
There's nobody working anywhere else.
Fired by other companies and hired here, but... Boy, we were just...
Except for people running radio stations who have no broadcasting experience.
I made my fortune in soap. Now, what I'm going to do now is broadcast for no reason. I'm not going to make it... I'm not going to...
Well, I was thinking of a lady in particular.
That was no lady. That's my wife. That's an old Milton Berle.
Yes.
Who was the lady I saw you with last night? That was no lady. That was my wife. Bada bing. Anywho, I'm going to tear myself away from this because otherwise I'm just going to end up talking about it a whole lot more than I really want to. But we were sitting, and this is not just...
So what was terrible about it?
Well, the last day or two, there have been many things that are... many things that are the talk of the hallway here at CBS Radio. One of which is that the intercom that blew out all the last DJs at the last live people at Kissin yesterday. And it said, quote, "We just can't figure out a way to quit losing money." And then I think they just spin a wheel of firings over there at that building occasionally. Oddly enough, management is nowhere on that wheel. It's a lot of people whose salaries are probably so low to begin with that it's really not going to make any difference. But it makes everyone feel good to have a good firing, I guess. So there you go. It's a bit like, I guess it's a bit like when you feel kind of under the weather and you're not really sure what the cause of it is, but you figure a good hurling in the bathroom will solve everything. That's kind of, I guess, how they operate. But the other is the paint color. Let's talk about the paint color here for a second. Do you feel like you're working inside a mental asylum? And I don't mean the obvious joke like, wah, wah, we're all crazy. I mean literally.
Oh, the white?
The hallway out here that they painted. Look, I don't mean to pick on CBS because I don't think it was their choice. I think it was the people who own this building. But they had years to decide on a paint color. This is like George Bush having years to decide on an Iraq plan, and then he said, I'm the decider. Troops, bam. They had years to decide on a paint color, and they just picked this blinding Arctic York peppermint patty white out here. Mm-hmm. And you walk out there, and it just blinds you.
And then there are all the on-air lights, so it changes whatever color the bulbs are in the hallway. Like, Smokey's is green and ours is red, so it looks all crazy pink out there.
Well, Smokey's been here longer than we have, so he gets his choice.
I don't mean to sound like I'm complaining about small things, and I know that there are real issues in this world. I'm just saying they had years to come up with it, and they inconvenienced us all and gassed us with paint fumes for like 4 weeks. Also, they come up with this blinding, dazzling... It's like you're in some sort of an Intel clean room out there. And radio stations, in my experience, are supposed to be, you know, there's two sides. There's a sales side, physically speaking, the physical sales side of the building, and then the on-air side. The on-air side, it's supposed to be, soothing and sort of mellow, so you can come in and create this magic, as we are doing right now here. It's not really soothing out there because it's like you walked into a giant tooth. And anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about. But the other thing that's the talk of CBS Radio in the hallway is that there have been some changes in Portland radio recently on radio stations not us and not owned by us. And I mean that sincerely. Radio stations owned by other companies who have badly, badly misjudged exactly what it is that people should do when they go into a studio. Really, radio that's so appallingly bad. There are just no words for it.
I was capable of better radio in my bedroom as a 9-year-old, which is where most of us started.
Really?
When other people were doing other things in their rooms, we were playing radio.
There were some people who I believe skipped that step. And anyway, I'm not going to go on about it because I'm going to end up saying enough that it tips the hat as to what station and show I'm talking about.
We work for a company. I mean, this is radio. We work for a company that has changed many frequencies as well.
No. I understand that. I'm just saying.
You'll get on your high horse, little man, because you're just tempting fate.
No,
for us to
I'm
go
not.
Again.
I'm not tempting fate. I'm not referring even to firings today. That was yesterday. I'm talking about this. I'm just saying.
There's a different thing.
There's some of the worst radio I've ever heard in my life being done in this city.
It doesn't matter. There's nobody listening to it.
I don't. But see, the thing is, if I keep going on, I'm gonna give this terrible radio program.
Well, it's not gonna coax people into listening to terrible radio.
No. I gotta quit. I'm just gonna pull the cord on this right now. Anyway,
it just isn't gonna happen.
Radio dial full of crap.
It might as well be Spanish.
At least you could fool yourself then into thinking it was something exciting. It's like when I watched that Sábado Gigante program. Do you guys ever watch that?
Oh yeah.
Man,
that's
I watched
the Ed Sullivan Show of Mexico.
I love that show. Sabado Gigante. Yeah. Big, fat Latin man surrounded by hot chicks with big cans and bikinis.
He's playing Ed Sullivan.
Spinning a wheel, like throwing things into the audience, singing, jumping up and down, sweating. I don't know what's going on. I don't speak a word of Spanish. I watched that show, and it seems like the most fantabulous television program that's ever existed. Things are always happening there. All right, let's, before
how
we get
that in, relate to everything else?
I don't know. Before we get to any other calls, oh, but I got this James Brown thing. And we'll see if we, we'll see if anybody here has got the James Brown joke here. But before we do that, let's go to,
hold me.
I taking my life in my hands. By the way, I talked to Brian, a director of engineering here yesterday. I was telling him yesterday, I said, hey, we had some phone problems, just, you know, Jeremy got it in hand, but we were trying to answer the phone calls. We couldn't really get anybody. And you know what he said to me? Goes, well, did you press the button? Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Hello, sir.
Oh, no.
Is the pot on?
Are you kidding me? Wait, it's like I can almost hear him. Hold on. Shout.
And we were just talking
about... Can you hear it? Wait, pot down the mono bit.
Can you hear him?
Hold on. Aaron, say something.
It sounds like when the Flintstones...
I don't think anybody else can hear that. Because
wait, Aaron, say something again.
So far...
We were just talking about bad radio just moments ago.
Oh, that was, you know what?
See, Rick gets,
karma.
That's what Rick does. He just gets on his high horse until we get screwed.
And here's what happened.
Hold on, Aaron. The things that I was... Now, look,
please continue to listen while we prepare this.
The things that I was mentioning, by the way, the things that I was mentioning are in no way... I don't feel this is instant karma. Because in no way am I on a high horse about the firing or the stability of this program. You know that. You know that I've said, look, you can tune in tomorrow and this will just be tradio and cat talk. It has nothing to do with that. I'm just saying there's certain things... Look, we may be hacks, but it's hacks in a very specific and certain... And we're aware of our own hackdom on some levels. That's all I'm saying.
Hackery.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, our hackery... Our hackery dackery duck. We are aware of that in a very real sense.
You're right. It
there
is
are other
frustrating
people who are not
listen,
as fortunate.
It is frustrating to listen to you talk about something that nobody knows, because I don't even know what you're talking about, and it's frustrating to me.
Okay. I'm just saying there's some bad radio being done in Portland.
All right.
Bad radio programs on bad radio stations.
And it's got to stop.
Yeah, it's true.
Never will.
Okay. I'm going to put this back on hold. Scotty, will you talk to Aaron on the bottom line there? He's on the first line there. And
change
make,
a little small talk with him.
See how his day is going. Hey, Jeremy, how you doing today? Hey, so this is like what? Your second, third day in a row coming in here fixing the phones? Let me ask you a question.
Can we have the same module on our new board?
Can we transfer this equipment over to the new studio? Let me ask you a question. Now, I don't mean to get too technical here, but... Why don't the phones work?
FM.
What? I don't understand.
Frequency modulation.
Yeah. I know what FM stands for, but when I say why don't the phones work?
Some sort of magic. FM. Use your imagination on the first part.
Oh, it's an effing?
Yes.
Effing module? Effing something?
Effing magic.
Effing magic.
That's
you
right.
Don't know.
No.
So how are you fixing it if you don't know what's broken?
You just push buttons until something works.
That's what Brian told us to do.
Yeah.
I swear to God, Brian's first word. Did Sarah turn... Did she push the button on the board?
How about that spray wind that comes in the can?
There we go.
Spray
yeah.
wind. Doesn't that usually work? Coffee.
This whole program is sprayed wind, brother. Let's take another one of these calls and see if they can be heard. Jim, hello. Yeah, and see, no, Jim, I'm going to put you back on hold. Don't
so
go anywhere.
So continuing that tale of bad radio.
The best thing is that, and Jeremy, I don't know if you're aware of this, but when we pick up the phones, I can hear Aaron in the background very, very faintly and cracklingly.
It's like a cartoon phone call.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's like when you're watching the Flintstones, and it's like a, but mother, I...
Let me go jiggle the wires real quick, and then tell me if it works.
I swear to God, is that what you're going to do?
Yes. You think I'm joking?
No, I... Yeah, it's crazy.
He's been cackling maniacally.
When the engineer is actually laughing when I ask him how he's going to fix something, and his response is just to cackle maniacally.
Tell me if it works.
Should I be answering a phone now?
Yeah, talk to Aaron.
Talk to Aaron. Okay,
he's
y'all get right on that.
He's
hello, Aaron.
Talking to Scotty J.
Yeah, there's nothing. No. And still nothing. The best part.
And the button's pushed, Brian.
And the button is pushed, and it's on, and I got my ears
can
on
we
and everything.
Can we move to the new studio early, by any chance?
I'm going to skip the...
After the next commercial
Several
break.
Obvious jokes right there that I will not make right now. All right. Now on the... And hello. Can you turn down the monobed a little bit? I'm not even sure if I can hear the crackling, Aaron, at this point. Aaron? I wish I knew whether people could hear that at home. Of course, there's no way...
I think
way...
it's almost time to play Proud Mary.
There's no way to know whether people can hear that at home because no one can call!
They
can call
Scotty J.
Okay, no, we'll just hold on, Jeremy. Don't you worry.
He wants us to wait 1 second.
Yeah, we'll hang on. I got nothing to do. So, it's no points. I'll just stand here. Don't you worry about nothing. I'm just going to stand here and do what I do best.
Everyone's
I swear to God, he's
pizza.
Jiggling the button. I just saw you do that, you bastard. You came over and you're jiggling the button back and forth. You are the guy I talked to at tech support who said, "Now, sir, is the computer plug it in?" All right. Now it's all on the air now. No, it's on. It's up.
It's on.
Yeah.
Okay. What I did yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna lose all the phone calls for a second.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So if he can call right back.
Hey, sure. So let me look at here. So Chuck and Aaron and whoever the other guy was, Ned, Ted, Jed, just call back. You're gonna be hung up on. Chuck, Jim, Aaron. If y'all could just call back at. There you go, and they're gone.
Oh, he's unplugging it. He's going to plug it back in.
Sir, have you rebooted the computer? Have you cleaned the computer in the dishwasher lately? No, I haven't. But okay, hold on one moment. And this is, by the way, most frequently heard sound when I call tech support, which I try not to do anymore because really, what's the point? And it's just a whole lot of... As the guy's going to like the appropriate page in the manual, a phone's ringing. Should I try to answer it or is it going to zap me or something? I swear to God, I'm going to push this butt one of these, and the chair behind me is just going to blow up or some crap. Rick Emerson Show, hello. No.
That's even worse.
No, that's worse than before.
I kind of like the murmur.
Yeah, the crackling is completely gone.
At least before there was enough.
You're given a choice.
At least before there was enough that I could sort of pretend that we were getting phone calls. I could sort of make up the conversation on the other side. Now that I'm picking up the phones and there's just no one there. Are you sure that WJFK didn't cure their problems by just sending them here? You sure that somebody just didn't come and swap our equipment out with Donna Mike's equipment somehow in the dead of night? All right. If anybody out there is wondering why it is we're staying with this phone business instead of just moving on to other things on the show, it's because I don't think there's any other way to fix it, right? I think we have to continue. We have to be testing this to figure out when it's fixed.
Right.
The irony is that just, hundreds of people calling, looking down the phones, people calling with all manner of conversations, observations, glib anecdotes, and amusing tales that they want to share with us. We can't actually talk to any of those people. We can talk to them. They can't talk to us. Aaron, I'm going to put you back on hold for a second. Don't you worry your pretty little Latin head. All right, let's...
And all these issues that must be addressed.
It's true.
What if this world a better place?
I want to know, what about the children? Chuck? Yeah. Now there's Chuck calling about James Brown. Chuck, I'm going to put you back on hold. Back in the box, as they say. Chuck might actually have the James Brown answer. We're going to move on for now. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented in blah, 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 Sarah Dillon. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I went to a party last night, and I got to meet a couple members of the Decemberists.
Oh, yeah, because they live here and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the ones that had their instruments stolen.
Yeah, yes, that's a long time ago. Yeah, they ended up
being
back.
That's what I remember them.
Did you see them when they were on the Colbert Report? I don't know if you watched the Stephen Colbert show. They were on the Stephen Colbert program, and they did like some guitar duel or whatever with him, because I guess he's like a big fan or something. So.
Oh, they're amazing. They all play like multiple
instruments.
They do
their 16 Military Wives or whatever the hell that song is. Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing, and I think most people are probably like this, that you associate certain songs with certain times in your life, obviously, blah, blah, blah. But, of course, working in radio, I never listen. I don't listen to the radio ever. I listen to this station, and that's about it. But I can, it's like counting the rings in a tree. I can remember, I can track my radio jobs by knowledge of songs that are in formats I would normally never, ever have knowledge of. In other words, because I listened to the alternative show when you were doing the mornings there, so I know that Franz Ferdinand song, I know the Killers song that somebody told me you had a girlfriend, whatever song, I know the Decemberist thing, I know, there's a bunch of crap. There's crap that I would never know had you not been working it. Just like with country. There's stuff that I...
Yes, that Toby Keith, courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue.
Which
that's when I first started working in radio, and I'll know that song till the day I die.
Only because it was you were down the hall from JJ. That's mm-hmm. the only reason you
no,
knew.
No, that was when I had to work, when I was working for Ian in the morning, sometimes screening those calls.
Oh,
yay!
I just heard
hello.
Somebody hang up.
Aaron? Oh, and he's hung up. Wait, hold on. Chuck! Chuck!
It worked!
Hello, sir. Wait, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Jeremy? Now, listen, you bastard. I want you to tell me right now how you fixed it. And don't give me any of your engineering crap. How did you fix it?
Well, I just kept pressing buttons until something worked.
Seriously, I'll beat you. I swear to God.
You
don't know.
Did you see him jiggling the buttons up
so
there?
We have to do that for every phone call we take from them?
There are approximately 50,000 buttons. It's like Wonka's elevator. There are buttons everywhere in here. How am I ever supposed to do that?
It's just...
When you go to the new build, your new studio, everything's going to work so much better.
Don't lie. Don't lie to me. I no longer believe you're hooey.
It's like driving around going from...
Good. At least driving somebody else will be stuck with this
Cadillac.
Studio.
All right. So, okay. So,
I mean,
can you just do us a favor and never leave? Can you just maybe get a little tent in the corner of the studio? You just stay here all the time or something? Yeah, you just try to be here every day at 11, maybe? Okay, thank you.
Hiding in the back.
God bless you. There's Jeremy from CBS Engineering.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
I'm going to get you a T-shirt made that just says, like, just jiggle the button. All right, thank you. Chuck, we'll get to you. I swear to God, we'll get to you in a second. We really will. Because now I've already moved on. I was going to say, though, that there's, like, the country songs that I only know from the time I worked at Fisher, and there's country songs that I only know now, like that new Carrie Underwood song, that I only know because we
only
weren't
know from
a
the
couple.
Bathroom.
Totally, and I know it, you're right, and I only
I
know it
pieces
in, like,
of them.
30-second segments of, like, the new Carrie Underwood song. I don't even know what the hell I was talking about. Tim Riley's working on the story today, blah, blah, blah.
Oh. Well, all of us in the media are very disappointed it didn't snow as promised, but wait. Perhaps there's
it
a
was snowing
or two
just now. Just now, actually.
And, you know, I was just on the COIN website, and they're taking a survey to find out how many people want it to snow, and 72% of all respondents said they did.
That is really compelling. That's compelling television they do down there.
Just like an old B-movie cliffhanger, a Camby man's truck stalls on a railroad track as the train quickly approaches. Does he make it? We'll find out.
Oh, that's gold. You should sell that to COIN.
Uh-huh. Fantastic. Well done. And a good cross-section of America is upset that the president, even before he makes a speech, has already committed to sending 21,500 troops into Baghdad, and we've taken sides in the Civil War. And because he's so belligerent.
All right, there you go.
Rick, you know you can't tease life or death situations on the news.
I just did.
On television you can't.
Can't you?
No, you can't. You can't do.
Why not?
If it's something having to do with life or death, you can't do it.
But really? According to who?
I don't know. That's what they were always saying. That you can't guarantee something.
Well,
that's
I think they're doing that wrong at COIN. Then.
That is correct.
That's the kind of thing that people really. Enjoy.
I
want to
know.
Hey,
I'm completely. Confused.
Well, you're gonna have to hang on. Till
yeah.
Later.
So this business of a guy trying to make it across a train track, does he make it or not?
I remember the old producer would do teases about you know, like somebody getting murdered, and I remember her getting reprimanded saying that you can't tease about death.
Well, because TV news. I mean, to pick on COIN, but TV news, they suddenly are full of ethics and whatever. No, I don't think so. A, Tim's right. That would work.
Yeah.
Might get some people to be watching. B, what was my point? B, they're a fine group. Any of the television broadcasters, the television news people, they're fine ones to talk about how it's immoral or unethical. And they tease life or death crap all the time. They just don't call it that. My favorite example, the one that I go to, is where is there a deadly leak in your house that could kill your family and turn your children into mongoloids?
It's
we'll
always,
tell you tonight.
It's always about the children.
Yeah, totally. But they're not going to tell me now. And I'm watching it, and I don't know, tell me! You know, and it's like, tune in tonight at 11, and it's 9 hours away. Could be dead by then. My children could be feeble by then. How
Someone
would I
is peeking in your children's bedroom window. Find out who, coming up at 11.
That would be a great Onion news desk. A man is peeping in your children's window right now. I'm Doyle Redland. That's genius. You should send that to the Onion.
Nobody appreciates such things.
It's good that we haven't all become embittered. Well, we were going to talk to Aaron, but F it. Let's see. James Brown is dead and is still unburied after 16 days. We're wondering if you have the obvious joke. And because if so, maybe you could. There's a morning show waiting for you. Chuck, hello, sir.
Rick, how's it going?
Oh, you know.
Hey, Scotty, could you pop me up a little, Scotty? I'm not comfortable at this level. Oh, okay, there you go.
Would you like your pot sweetened?
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on. What's going... Who are you... Stop. Do you have a James Brown joke?
Yes. Now I'm done messing with Scotty. Anyway, let's see. They can't bury him yet because they can't get the casket closed because he just won't stop shaking his groove thing.
Is that your joke, Rick? That he won't stop shaking his groove thing?
What do you think?
Would please break.
Thank you, Chuck. No. But thank you.
All right,
there you go. And that's Chuck. Another soul vanishes into the Portland day.
Well, that's the last phone call in the bank for now. Let's see if it works after the commercial break. We've gone this far.
Lay bets on it. Well, I do have to tease a couple of things. Coming up, we got Lisa Goddard after the break. And we'll find out if she wants to tell us any more. But I'm going to beat that CNN thing out of her with my words. Not Jim Roop. Ed McCarthy will talk to us later today about James Brown, who I swear to God, 2 weeks later, is still above ground, moldering away. I do have, courtesy of our friend Seamus, some fantastic James Brown audio. And when I say it's fantastic, it really is fantastic. Even from beyond the grave, he keeps giving. James Brown continues to give entertainment long after he has shuffled off his mortal coil. What else? Blah, blah.
James Brown is rotting.
James Brown is, yeah, I mean, it's genius. Let's see. What else? Oh, Peter Carlin's going to join us. And speaking of Peter Carlin, we're getting to the bottom of why it is he didn't call us Monday. Scotty claims it's Peter's fault. Peter claims it's Scotty's fault. So we'll do that later on. Also today, the top five created by Scotty J. Scotty J created today's top five. We're going to have the top five because it's cold outside and it's like 22 degrees or whatever and it's going to snow. And we're all going to die from the icy white doom. We have the top five hot songs. According to Scotty J. Top five today created by Scotty J. Top five hot songs. All right. 503-733-2970. We'll take a break. Come back after this. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. All right. For the love of God. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Please now to also be emailing us about this or that or to other.
Or James Brown jokes.
Or James Brown jokes, which are all way better than mine, by the way. These James Brown jokes. James Brown is hilarious. These James Brown jokes. Do you even know the song that I'm referring to?
Yes, I know.
Okay.
I know it, yeah.
See, and I'm afraid that...
That was the first thing that popped in my head when I saw the title.
It was fantastic. But I wish I had that here.
That would be a fabulous contest. If we could get that song, and James Brown is blank, and have people fill in the blank.
Maybe it's on YouTube. I'll look for it. Anyway, James Brown is still not buried after 16 long, hot days in the South, I think. But I had this great, and by great, I mean terrible morning show joke about, you know, James Brown, blah, 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 and then the obvious joke about the fact that he's still not been buried. And so we were seeing if you had a bright career in morning radio by coming up with some hack-like joke. But the thing is, the jokes are coming like way better than mine. They're all better than mine. So we'll get to some of them. We'll do one, and then we'll talk to Lisa Goddard here, who's on the hill. Let's talk to Matt. You're on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
All right, so he's not really James Brown anymore. He's more of a James Brownish Green.
Zing! Wait, with the I can't play the with the whole wait and the. There you go. That is great. No, that's fantastic, and that's also a little bit of a James Brownish Green. I'm writing that down. All right, Brownish.
Definitely morning show material.
No, it's true. All right. Thank you, sir. You have a bright future in radio, my friend. All right. Thank you, Matt.
Bye.
All right. There you go. That's Matt. Let's see. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, going from the ridiculous to the intellectual end. Stunning. Let's talk to CNN radio correspondent on the Hill, Lisa Goddard. Hello, Lisa. I'm sorry. Say hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry, yeah, where your phone, I think, well, it's hard to say whether it's your phone or ours. You're a little low there.
How about this?
I think that might be her phone. That sounds like a Lisa Goddard. That sounds like a YP, sister, not an MP.
Here, let's see what I can do here. Okay. How about this?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you back on hold. I'm going to have you call Scotty back here in just a second. All right, I'm going to put you back in the box there for just 1 second. All right, Scotty, if you can please be talking to Lisa Goddard. All right. No, I'm fine. It's just that I'm glad, you know, because that really is her problem. It's your problem, Lisa Goddard. I'm fine. So, it's I'm okay. It's you. No, because I was, well, I was, you and I shared that look for a second, like the phones had just gone belly up again.
No, because I know that sometimes it throws you, so I'm just trying to...
That's fine. No, Rick Emerson's a professional. He's gonna adapt, overcome.
He's gonna talk about himself.
He's gonna improvise. That's how I get emotional distance from the situation. Was it you that pointed that out? That you believe that I refer to myself in the third? I should ask my shrink about that. Was it you? I haven't gone to my shrink in a long time, and I want to. This is the wrong time to start talking about this. But I'm just all crazy and unstable. So I think I'm gonna be going again. And I just placed a phone call to her to my old shrink this morning, actually. Who I'm not sure if I don't even I haven't gone.
You
to my
should
shrink
see mine.
Forever.
She's fabulous.
And she said she's hot too.
Yeah, she's. You'd like her. My she's like a librarian.
Oh really? See, my mm-hmm. shrink looks like Diane Keaton from like not like Scotty. Are you gonna answer those? Thank you. The boy, that sounded testy, didn't it? This whole show is just one big funhouse ride, just like the weirdest, most dysfunctional family. But if we restart it, then because Lisa's on hold now, I was just gonna say real quickly, my shrink is not Diane Keaton like Annie Hall. Manhattan era Diane Keaton, but maybe Diane Keaton, and I mean, it's not a knock, like a First Wives Club era, because she's, you know, an older lady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I would guess that she's late 40s, early 50s. So kind of a recent Diane Keaton, you know, or maybe 10 years ago Diane Keaton. Anyway, the point is she's cute too. Your shrink sounds hot though. What's her name?
Wendy.
Wendy. So anyway, so I haven't talked to my shrink for years because I foolishly thought that I was sane and stable and rational, had achieved some sort of normalcy in my life, and that's not really happening. So I called her this morning, and I was just like, "So you may remember me from I'm Rick Emerson. You may remember me from such sessions as 'My Daddy Never Loved Me' and 'Why Won't Anybody Treat Me Like the Star That I Am'." And so I'm like, so if you could just leave me a message. And I left, and I know we're late. We got to talk to Lisa here. But so I just left this message. Have you ever...
You left that rambling message on her answering machine?
I did. I don't know if you've ever left a message for your shrink. Have you ever had... how do I put this? Have you ever called a shrink when you were... Like, in, we are just turning into a Woody Allen play. Have you ever just called a shrink, though, when you were, like, really, like, in the midst of just a bad,
uh-huh.
bad place?
I absolutely have.
And you called just like, so you're not picking up, so I guess you're in a session or something, but I... So I'm going to give you the following 19 phone numbers where I can be reached. Just call whenever. And that was me this morning, because I was just... My brain was just folding in on itself today, and I was just feeling like I just, you know, like my head was going to come off. And so I called Noreen this morning, and I'm like, so, we haven't talked in like three... It's totally like a mental booty call. Because I'm like, well, I know you haven't heard from me in like 3 years, but so I was thinking we could get together as soon as possible. I'd really like that if we could get together right away.
I'm free this afternoon.
I'm free this afternoon. I've got to, and here's my cell number, and then here's my, office, and I'm not, if I don't answer between 11 and 3, leave a message, give me whatever number you're at, you know, that's totally, just, you know, what was I, what,
oh, we've got to pick up,
why Lisa. Did I get under this shrink issue?
Because you have problems.
Well, that's no secret, but how did we get from Lisa Goddard to my shrink? Well, let's not follow that road. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, this will be awkward, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, hello.
Hey, is this better?
Hey, yeah. That's much better. That's
great.
Fantastic.
I wonder what's up.
I don't know. Well, you know, here's the reason I was asking for clarification on this, because we had some phone issues at the top of the show today, where just the callers could hear me, but the signal wasn't getting back into the board and blah blah blah. So I wanted to make sure that it was your problem and not mine. Anywho, so
I know.
Oh, that's how we got onto that, by the way, because I was referring to myself in the third person. And it is Sarah's speculation that I do that in times of crisis or stress to achieve some sort of emotional distance, or it's like a dissociative activity, so I can't get a handle on my many myriad neuroses.
It's not a bad theory, actually, Sarah.
God
Thank
almighty.
You, Lisa.
All right.
You're welcome.
Takes several hundred long, deep breaths during today's program. All right. Anywho, well, you know, here's the thing. And this is why I'm always reluctant to talk about my shrink or my deteriorating mental state or anything on the air, because really, all things considered, there's like billions of people that I could have their lives that would be worse than mine. And I am not in any way going to extend any sympathy to George W. Bush because he is hoist by his own petard. It's sad that there's going to be, 21,000 other kids, I say kids, but men and women of whatever age, that are going to be hoist along with him. And I know that you cannot, underscore this with a cent, but I'm just going to say because of this god-awful, so ill-advised as to be almost actively obscene plan to send 21,000 more U.S. troops to Iraq in an effort to, quote, pacify the Iraqi capital. This is tonight at 6 or 7 or 12 or something he's going to announce this?
I think it's 6 p.m. your time, right?
Oh, God damn. I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know whether I'm going to watch it because the whole thing just fills me with such agita. I just get so cranked up. And people, you know this, that I view politics largely as just entertainment now and just, pardon the inappropriate pun, but I always call it, Hunter Thompson called it a blood sport, and just that it was very, very competitive. It was like sports for nerds. And I still feel that way a lot, but I can get emotional distance from politics most of the time and just watch it for just the insane charade that it is and the theater that it is. But this has just got to make you angry. And I know that this sounds corny and melodramatic when I say this, but just I think anybody who is an American just has to be horrified by this. I mean, it's the worst idea in the history of bad ideas. And I say this now leading up to the question, not among the people, but among other politicians in Washington. What is the conventional wisdom on, A, how bright of an idea this is, and, B, what the ramifications politically are going to be?
I think with Democrats in charge, most people here think this is not a good idea. But the ramifications depends on who you ask. I think no one really knows what is happening now in Iraq exactly, and no one knows what is going to happen. It really is. It's really where chaos theory comes into play. A butterfly in Portland could be affecting things in Iraq. I guess it's not that extensive, of course, but it really, there are so many dynamics in Iraq that while there are some people who have very clear theories, I honestly don't believe them. I don't think that anyone knows for sure. But Rick, let me ask you this though. What do you think should happen? What do you think is the best option this country has now in Iraq?
Put you
right on it.
Well, I mean, in terms of what's going to happen to Iraq, or what should we as Americans be doing?
What is our best option? Right, you think that sending more troops is a bad idea. And the president, he says that I think this is the only way to stabilize. We're going to hear that kind of thing. But you and many, many people, you're right, think that it's a horrible idea and it's just going to put more people in harm's way. But then those who support the president would say, well, okay, what, Rick, what would you do? What do you think this country should do? Should we just pull out? What is really our best option now in your mind?
There's a couple answers to that. A, I mean, I think the obvious answer is that we shouldn't have gone and just kicked over this hideous hornet's nest in the first place. But whatever. What's done is done. What's past is past. I think what bothers me so much about this, and I'm not evading the question, I will give you a hard answer to this. I think what bothers me so much about this is it just seems like I know that 20,000 is a lot, but by the same token, it just seems like such a middle ground plan because we've got allies that are just sort of flaking away from us left and right. I think Britain has now announced that they're done. They're washing their hands of it. And Tony Blair has said that I'm pretty sure he went on record as saying that going and pouring more troops in is a colossal mistake. So we're going to go in just sort of with half our hand tied behind our back because we don't have the backing of the rest of the world. We don't have troops from the rest of the world. It doesn't really seem like anybody has really written down or fixed in their own head exactly what the process is or what they're even hoping to achieve. We've got a government set up there with a poor guy. God, the poor prime minister has just on television every day gone, please, I'd like to leave now. I don't want this job. And he just wants to be out of
right.
there. So it seems to me that we either got it, because I am very nihilistic and I think fatalistic about not just the Middle East, but about countries like this where it's just one band of religious nitwits that hates another band of religious nitwits. And I think America is very much the exception to those kind of rules, where any country where it's just filled with people who are busy killing and shooting and maiming and bombing and whatever because some invisible guy that no one can see told them to do it, those countries are just fated to be disasters. That's just the way it is. And so I don't see Iraq and I don't see the Middle East as being any different than that. So my opinion is this. There are only two roads, just as there were back when this Iraq war started. Back when the Iraq war started, I said that I wasn't necessarily in favor of going to Iraq. But if George W. Bush's claim was that, well, look, because what did we hear over and over again? Well, Saddam is a bad guy. That's the phrase they always used. That was the way they boiled it down with the public. Saddam is a bad guy. My thing is this, that Saddam was a bad guy in a neighborhood full of terrible guys. If George W. Bush had gotten on television, if he had said, look, Saddam is a bad guy, he kills people, we think he might have WMD, you know, who knows, but we wouldn't put it past him. So I'll tell you what, you got to buckle down, you got to dig in, it's going to be a hard 10 years, a hard 12 years, but we are going to go house to house, door to door, country to country. And anybody that is oppressive, anybody that's totalitarian, we're going to do everything we have up to and including military action. And we're going to go through and we're going to remake that part of the world one country at a time. And it's going to suck. And there's going to be loss of life and pain and tears and blood and sacrifice. But it's just got to be done. If not for us, then future generations. I don't think anybody would have been like, yay, I can't wait. But I would have respected that and I would have seen a certain internal logic to it. Or if he had just said, look, it's a country full of nutcases. That part of the world has always been unstable. It's always going to be unstable. We're just going to, take a more of a Pat Buchanan approach to it, and just we're going to pull our foot out of the muck and try not to get caught in it. I would have supported, to varying degrees, either of those. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we are at the same place. I think where George Bush has either got to say, look, we're going to go in with absolute, complete, overwhelming force. We are going to lock down, to whatever extent we can, the entire country, and I'm going to cut any deal I have to with the rest of the civilized world. I'm going to strike any bargain I have to, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to put the entire country under house arrest, and we're going to sort it out, and it's going to be long and slow, but that's how we're going to do it. Or, if he just said, screw this, F it, we're out of here, we're pulling up stakes, and we're leaving. Those are the only two options. I favor the latter option because I believe that country and that part of the world is inherently unstable. So that's a long way to get to those two short answers. You either got to go in, I think, with overwhelming force supported by the rest of the world, or you just got to get the hell out. And I think we're at the point now where getting the hell out strikes me as the better option.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with you. I think that, and so you're saying this middle course of sending some troops to maybe do something achieve anything.
Does anybody think that we failed the last 45 times we've had incremental troop increases there? Does anybody think that this one's going to somehow result in a massive success? I don't know anybody, and I would wager that you don't know anybody that thinks that. Not on the record, or off the record, rather. If you were to ask them their real, honest opinion, I don't know anybody that says, no, that's the ticket. This time it's going to work. 20,000's a lot. There's no doubt about that. But somehow it just doesn't strike me as the single defining hammer-type blow that you need to just crack the nut of some country that is in the throes of a terroristic civil war.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's interesting, actually. I have spoken to one Democrat in the last year, in the last day. In fact, Representative Adam Smith of Tacoma, Washington, who was at the White House yesterday. The president has been shopping this plan around, trying to get as much support as he can. He was one of the people there. And it's interesting. He is a Democrat who says what the president told him in person actually has made him think about it. And he is now on the fence, not against this plan yet. He's saying he's not for it either. But he said the details the president gave me made me really think about it, that it really depends on these commitments that the Iraqis have made, that we are sending these troops with the understanding that they have to reach these certain goals or else we're out of there. He didn't really say that, but he seemed to be implying that. And we have to see what those details are in the president's speech tonight. But at least, one of your congressmen saying that it gave him some pause, the details that the president explained. Now, is the president just being a great salesman? Of course, in that same room was the vice president, Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of Defense Gates, all the big guys were staring right back at these congressmen. I don't know. I think that there are some people who are considering this plan more than you might expect.
Maybe. I mean, I will say this, that from my perspective, it seems like, for good or bad, when George Bush talks about, and he's not alone in this, certainly, when George Bush talks about making Iraq a free place and giving them their own destiny and whatever, it seems to me that he's essentially putting that, and again, I don't say this in like to be some PC liberal nitwit, I'm saying he is saying that from an American perspective. In other words, he is channeling that through his prism and his idea of what freedom and democracy and self-rule and all of that
is.
And I think that history would demonstrate, and I think a cursory glance around the globe of 2007 would indicate, that there is no country that functions. There is no country that can function that way from afar. In other words, you just can't go in and sort of knock everything over and then reassemble it and ask the people to run the country that way. The countries that operate that way are there because they are built that way from the top down, often through some external force. And, you know, I don't think we got the power at this point and the clout, and I don't think we have, I just don't think we got the suction, as they say in Baltimore, to make that happen. And I don't think we have, I think we had a window of time to do that with the backing of the rest of the world, but I think, as the man says in Raiders of the Lost Ark, that time is past. And
you'll see a lot of people agreeing with you this week. So, and like I said, someone from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Still, you know, it's chewing on both sides, though. So it's interesting.
Well,
not as simple as you might. I know it seems simple to most people. Come on, are you guys kidding? It's a mess. We're sending more people, but the president's doing a hard sell. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not pretending that. I mean, Rick Emerson is not a man with all the answers. but I do believe that there comes a time just to pull back and regroup and just get your head together. You know what it is? Here's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like when you have a long day at work and you come home and you're tired and you're ragged and whatever, and then you get into some fight with your sister, your girlfriend, your wife, your mom, your dad, somebody, and then suddenly you look up and it's 2:30 in the morning. You've been awake for 22 hours. One of you is half a gallon into a bottle of red wine, and you realize that this argument is just spiraling into this thing that you have no handle on, no control. It's just you can't even get your arms around it. And at a certain point, one of you just has to say, "This is getting us nowhere. You know, we're just going to revisit this tomorrow because we're never going to achieve any sort of rapport tonight." And I think that's where we are. I mean, if they decide that they want to go and remake the globe in another 10 years, that's fine. But it's not happening right now, and I don't think it's going to happen until everybody kind of sits down and gets their head together. That would be my opinion. But again, I do recognize this is like way more answer than you ever wanted. I realize that. But
that's great. I wish I had been taping this.
I recognize that I do have not a singularly nihilistic view, but a pretty dim view of not just human beings in general, but of this situation specifically. So, you know, I'm probably the wrong person to ask him anyways.
I think it comes down to the real question. What is the best option? Would leaving make things worse or better? Would sending more troops make things worse or better? And I think the answer is people don't know.
No,
nobody knows. Everyone has their reasons that they fall on one side of the line or the other, but that really is the essential question.
Probably. And my final thought, as Springer would say, is this, that whether leaving would make things worse or better, whatever, the president has got us quit peddling this fiction that the American people want victory. The American people want to stay and see this through. The American people don't. They either don't care or they want us out. That there is no one left.
I don't know. I think if you talk to the families of these service members, I'm not trying to, you know, throw kittens at you, but I really do think that the families believe in this, and I think that many people who've been over there think that we need to get out. But many more, I think, who have fought there. Are very committed to it and care.
I suppose that's true. And again, nobody needs to dog the military. But I mean, let's be honest. On one hand, that's because you don't want to think that what you did was pointless. You don't want to think that what you did was futile. And I understand that. And I'm not saying that some of those goals aren't admirable.
Or it could really be worthwhile. I don't know yet.
Anyway, it's just an ugly situation, the whole thing. And so George Bush is going to come on tonight. The bottom line is he's going to say 21,000. When do those 21,000 troops arrive in Iraq?
Starting in a week, but it's going to be gradual. There'll be different units going at different times, but starting in a week.
All right. Hey, I'm going to take you out with this thought. James Brown has been dead for 16 days, and he's not buried yet.
I know. Yeah.
It's fantastic. And here's just a little bit of James Brown. There you go. All right. Lisa Goddard, I'm sorry for being so relentlessly
bleak. No, this is good stuff.
Today.
This is what, it's great. This is how everyone should, it's great. This is important stuff. It's good.
Yes, everyone should be exactly like this program in every way.
I'm not saying that. All right. But no, everyone should have some clear thoughts and really be passionate about this either way.
All right. Okay. We will speak to you soon. Enjoy the rest of your day. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Thank you. There you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Yes?
Did you get it all out of your system now?
What? About Iraq?
Yeah, you're crazy ranting.
I've been very contained about it. You'll note that I do not uncork a lot of Iraq rants because nobody wants to hear about it, and everybody's just sick to the teeth of
it. No, not even just the Iraq thing. I feel like you just needed to spaz out about something so you could get it out of your system. You're in a mood.
I'm not. Somebody's got a case of the Wednesdays. What was I just thinking the other day? I was just talking to Lara about this. You know, because everybody does these sounds like somebody's got a case of Mondays, which is funny, but it's like everybody does it now. What was I just thinking the other day? There was a great Monday. Oh, it's from Dave. Everybody works on Monday. I was just thinking that I should totally use that. I'm calling, you bastards, I'm calling that.
This joke copyright 2007. Rick Emerson Show.
I'm totally going to call that from the movie Dave, where Kevin Kline goes, it's Monday and everybody works on Monday. I'm totally going to start using that. Sons of bitches. Let's take one call here and then we'll, Tom.
Yeah.
Hey.
James Brown is past his expiration date.
That's funny. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's funnier than mine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a little break now. I'm going to come back with
Tim. And I'm
going
to take away your coffee.
I haven't eaten. Look at this. I want you to see this. I have a full cup I haven't even finished.
Oh, good God.
I didn't even start this. It's tepid. A full cup I didn't even get to. This is me on like half cap. In your face. A little Spinal Tap is good for what ails you. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Tim Riley next. Stay there.